Okay, right, mind your head. It's a
Oh,
bit dusty in here.
it's a little low.
Yeah, no, I know. So we're redecorating the fortress.
Yeah,
So we
I
need to
noticed.
record in here. So we're actually
Okay.
in we're in the fallout shelter that's underneath the fortress, but I don't normally come down here.
The
So there's
shelter.
yeah, I mean it's just it was there when I bought the fortress and it just I've never really come in here. So just it's all a bit just it's all a bit kind of metally and stuff. But just don't just anyway, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. I need to just fire up a couple of things though, because we're using the old equipment. Obviously, we could have recorded this in the time room next
Yeah,
to the
why
fortress room,
not?
because if we do that, we risk recording a podcast episode for an alternate dimension. We could be covering films that don't actually
Oh, of
exist in
course,
this
yeah,
reality.
sorry, yeah.
So,
Of
we're
course,
gonna have to sit here. So just mind now. Let me just sure that's all working. Right, that's up to speed. That recording's working. We're gonna be reel to reel today, so it's a little
Oh,
bit
old
more.
school.
Yeah, I know. Right. Only thing to mention. Just it's all fine in here. It's a bit dusty. The only thing to mention is there's a button here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Now,
that's
whatever you do, do not push this button.
that
Everything
button.
else is fine, but just this button. So don't push. So everything else is all right,
Don't
but
push
just that button. That
that
button
button
there.
there.
Just
The
that
big
button.
red
The
button.
big red button
Okay.
with the little covery thing on it. Don't
Yeah.
push that button. Besides that, though, everything's gonna be okay. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, I just can't help but feel like that's gonna come back and bite us at some point.
Nah, that'd be fine.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart. In my heart, I have but one desire. And that one is you, no other will
Welcome to the ads. We're going to change the music on that. That's the wrong tape. Welcome to the Fantasy Film League podcast.
Hello, I'm
Hello,
Mr. Smith.
and I'm Mr. Birch. And even though we are in a different place this
We've
week, I
got
we've
some
got biscuits.
rations.
We've
Some
got some rations.
rations.
These are now I don't know how old these biscuits are, but they should be fine. So we should be all good. Right. We've got a couple of things to go through. We
Yes.
need to talk about Ryan.
Yes.
Definitely. Because
Okay.
I think I've worked out how to win the Fantasy Film League.
Right.
So
Ryan, which Ryan are we talking about?
plus, need to do a couple of calendar reminders, a bit of housekeeping, because we've got a lot of
Yes.
stuff happening over the next couple of
We're at that
weeks.
time of the
We're
year.
at that kind of thing to talk about. And I also want to talk about, like, I had a bit of a I had a very strange moment last night reading as I'm on we're on Threads.
Yep.
When I say we, I mainly mean me, and I mainly sometimes let Legion have a go, but Legion gets a bit shouty. Anyway, something very funny. I saw something very funny on Threads, which reminded me of something else, and I kind of span off, which is basically why we're here recording this today, because I kind of had an idea. But first, right, I think I've got the 8-track loaded. Do you want normal
Do I
news?
hit the that red
No,
button now?
don't look. Don't hit that button.
Okay.
But I'm gonna hit the button over here, right? I need to pull the
That
lever.
button.
Do you want dubstep or do you want normal news?
Oh, do you know what? Maybe we should have normal news.
Because we're going a bit lo-fi.
Because of
Because
like,
we're a bit low tech.
just to sort of fit in with the vibes.
Okay, all right, cool. Pass me that 8-track tape.
Okay.
Oh, it works!
Huh? Is this sound dubstep?
Yeah, I'm just going for ow.
It's in the news. News. This is the news.
Okay, I pushed the wrong button. That is the comedically long version of our news.
You've done the extended
that's
mix.
The extended mix. That's never been played. We put that out for our patrons.
Yes.
And just as a
couple of years ago.
Yeah, a long time ago we put it out. And yeah, we've never played that. I definitely put the long wrong entry. We're having a very bad technology day today, so I apologize.
Yeah,
I had to push that button like three times as well before it would go in. Okay. We'll be fine.
Could we fix it if I hit the big red
button?
Don't
hit the big red button.
Okay.
Right. News. So we've got a couple of things coming up. So we're in, where are we? April. He said, looking at the watch, it doesn't tell us what month it is.
It is April.
So May is when we start looking, we move. So we've got blockbuster season coming up.
Yeah.
This is the big thing, because if you're playing
July.
Playing the game for one and done, the next 3 months is going to be where the big films are coming in. If you're playing the studio game, this is where you need to make sure you've got as much money as possible so you can absolutely spam
all the top people.
But more interestingly, and I probably shouldn't say this about my own game, but the blockbuster season is probably, if you're going to play a season game, maybe for
like
the first
time,
short season, the blockbuster season, which runs from May,
June, July,
is probably a really good time to do it, because frankly, you can't fuffle it up.
Yeah, it's because you've got every week. Well, of recent years, it's been a little bit weird, but generally speaking, every week
it should be
interesting.
It
film
should be all killer, no filler.
Yep.
Bang 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 all the way
be.
Through in theory.
Mm-hmm. Last couple of years have kind of been a bit weird. Yeah.
But you know, you're gonna get the big films, and this is the thing. So yeah, if you're gonna do a season, blockbuster season is the season to go for, just because, I mean, it's going to be a good one. But
the clue is in the name.
Yeah, it is. And the other seasons are quite good as well, because there's a different playing strategy to them.
But
I've just realized I've got an incredibly, I put on my special jumpsuit that I use down here. And let's take this thing off again, because it's making squeaky noises and it's driving me crazy. Right.
That is an improvement
on
the squeakiness.
That is an improvement. Sorry about this. Right, God, it's all getting a bit... It's very lo-fi today. Right. But, big question is, there's two big films coming out in the next couple of weeks.
Mm.
So May 2nd, we're going to get Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in The Fall Guy.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember The Fall Guy TV show?
Barely, the telly in my youth.
I remember it was Lee Majors.
Mm.
I remember that he drove a big, big car.
Wheeled car. Well, what nowadays we would probably just describe as a
normal size car. Yeah. Yes, but he drove an, because obviously I'm of a certain age, and we had like a Datsun Sunny, or what was the other one? Princess? Were they, remember that?
Yeah. Oh,
what were they called? I can't remember.
Yeah. Or
anyway, I didn't have either of those.
A Morris Minor or something like that. Yeah.
Ford Anglia.
A Cortina. Classic.
Oh, bloody hell, I don't have a Cortina. Oh, wait.
If you're upmarket.
Your cool uncle had the Cortina.
Yeah.
Move that microphone again. It's driving me mad. Yeah, your cool uncle had the Cortina.
I told you the jumpsuit was a bad call.
Look, it was here. I'm assuming it was a good idea. But I remember the big car, and I remember he was a stuntman in the films.
Yeah.
But he was also on the side. It was a private investigator. It was a stupid program. Heather Locklear was in it. That seems to bizarrely stick in my six-year-old mind. Anyway, but anyway, this film, the new film, is based loosely on the original concept.
I got
the grounds that he's a stuntman who gets involved in an something happens and he gets dragged into a conspiracy.
It needs to be a film-worthy story, so it's probably bigger in scope than the TV series ever was. It gives me strong Baywatch vibes. It's that same thing. Take a series, maybe don't take it too seriously either, because that would be not a good call. So I think they're probably erring on the right side.
It looks, I've seen the trailer, and I really like Ryan Gosling. I think he's funny, because when he's funny, he's being earnestly serious about it. But obviously, he's doing it with his tongue firmly in his cheek.
Yes.
And I think that's good. And I like Emily
Blunt. He plays it straight.
He plays it straight, And I think, you know, there's a very funny film called The Wrong Guys with him and Russell Crowe. And he's a moron in that film.
Yeah.
But that's the whole point, is he plays it straight, and he's genuinely
that's
really
interesting.
Funny.
I'd sort of forgotten about that, because, you know, when he did Ken.
Yeah.
I thought, oh wow, he's never done a comedy role before, but that's not true. Yeah.
And even when he was Ken, he was playing it
straight.
Absolutely straight. He was not playing it, it was very funny. So yes, I think it's good. So I mentioned this to Mrs. B, and she was like, yeah, that's a lovely trailer. So I showed the trailer. The trailer's got a Journey song, but they've epicked it up, which, by the way, is our thing normally when we're not in here. But it's our thing normally, but they've given it the
standard epicness.
So they've added whatever that filter is in GarageBand where you add epicness. Epic trailerness.
Yeah,
that's what they've done. Which, to be honest with you, kind of worked, because I ended up singing the song. Then I realized that I had no idea what the song was. I have a complete black hole for late 70s, early 80s soft rock. It is it completely missed me by, and I couldn't name any songs. Mrs. B, however, basically just covered her hair in hairspray and rocked out for most of that time, wore the gloves and that
right,
thing.
Okay.
So she's all over this. Right. I then realized that the song I'm singing from Journey, I recognize it because it was in Rock of Ages and Bad Film Club. And I'm like, I'm sure I've heard the song before. And I'm like, sure.
Still
the best worst film that we have ever seen. So yeah. So that's Ryan Gosling.
Yes.
And then I mentioned to Mrs. B that there's a new Ryan Reynolds film coming out, and she went, "Yeah." And I went,
"Do
you want to see the trailer? Nope. Just Ryan." And then in fairness, she actually like I do with another name. She refers to Ryan as Ryan Humna 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 Reynolds. So basically, she would just go and see anything that he's in. She'll go and see Deadpool 3. Which is insane, because she's got Ryan Reynolds, so therefore I'm going.
That's interesting.
How are the biscuits? Are they okay?
Right. Yeah, considering, like, I've just read the best before on here, and it's a little bit like they've aged.
Yeah, they've done all right.
I think it's that storage container.
Ooh.
Funnily enough,
thought I'd just ask you a question while you were mid biscuit, just to mess with you. Go on, Dad. I'm going to do the same thing now. Right, Ryan Reynolds, go.
My daughter has the exact opposite reaction to him. He feels quite polarizing.
Okay.
Yeah. She's like, if he's in it, she's not interested. It's the,
really?
Literally the polar opposite reaction.
Oh, okay.
She says she finds him creepy. So yeah, there you go. I don't know. I'm not like a teenage girl, so I'm in no position to judge this
could be
reaction.
An age thing. It could be an age thing. It could be
because
appealing.
He's older. You could be relative to her.
Yes, you could be appealing to a different demographic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Or she's wrong.
Because obviously for her it's like Timothy Chalamet, which is an age appropriate attraction.
She's about 12.
Yeah.
But the film that Ryan Reynolds is coming out in, which is the middle of May, is If.
Right, now is this the animation or like live action with animation thing? Yes.
Effectively, it's If is Imaginary Friend, not to be confused with the current film in the release called Imaginary. Very different film.
Right,
do not take your children to see Imaginary. Take them to see If. So Imaginary Friend. So effectively, when you're a kid, you have an imaginary friend. Did you have an imaginary friend when you were a kid?
No, but said daughter did have an imaginary friend.
So when the child grows up, they no longer need the imaginary friend.
Yes.
So the imaginary friend becomes effectively redundant.
Right.
So what this guy, the guy who's Ryan Reynolds plays, can see everyone's imaginary friends and has now set up a shelter for abandoned imaginary friends. And then has the idea to rehabilitate them and to find other people who
is
need
this
imaginary
a Pixar
friends.
Film?
No,
it
but
feels
it's got
like,
a lot of... But it came from the mind of John Krasinski, because he's directed it.
Ah.
And he's written it. So
nice.
I think it was probably an idea for a kid's book that just kind of went out. Think Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
I think it's going to have big Roger Rabbit vibes on the grounds that there's a lot of animated characters, but they're not exactly... squeaky clean. There's one who is basically a giant purple monster who's an idiot. There's one who's like a black and white, looks like kind of Betty Boop kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Voiced by Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Basically, also, the other point of this film is everyone is doing a voice in it.
Ah, right.
So, be very,
who's
very...
in this?
Yeah.
Everyone!
Yeah. everyone is in this. So, yeah. You've got directed by John Krasinski, which is good. He's not in it. Ryan Reynolds is actually in it. And then everyone else...
Bob Hoskins.
He's Bob Hoskins.
Yeah.
And everyone else is playing an imaginary friend.
A voice.
Steve Carell's in it as a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone. Yep. Look at the cast list. Everyone's in it. Be aware that they will count. Now, what they're going to count as? Oh, crap.
Voice? Voice they... for...
Voice?
Yeah.
For animation?
Yeah. Well, it's flat, or... right? It's always been flat for voice. We've got voice for direct, right? So live action. So
yes.
he's just straight up director. Ryan Reynolds would be straight up
actor,
top billing.
100%. Yeah.
Right. But everyone else is like, surely that's just voice because they're doing effect. What is it? Animation?
Right.
Or it will be like sort of it depends how long they're in it, because I imagine they're there for like one scene max or like one line, right? So, I don't know.
No, there are like fully realized characters in this film.
Oh, in which case, I would probably say animation voice is my hot take.
Like someone's currently screaming at the on the bus going, no, they should be all supporting cast. Right, we need to work that out because that's a big thing. Because, there's a lot of people in this.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of voices in this, so we need to look it out. But
it's an Avengers Endgame type situation.
Oh, God, yeah, everyone's in it. So here's the question. If you're playing the main game, you've probably got enough money. So, back to Fall Guy. You've got Aaron Taylor-Johnson's in it as the douche actor that he's the stunt double of.
Oh,
he's
not
in it for long, though, because he's probably too busy trying to be Bond, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt. I can't remember who's directed it, but I think it's a big name, so it's quite good. Hannah Waddington is in it.
Oh, yeah. Bong,
shame, her.
Ted Lasso.
There we go, yeah. But also, bong
shame.
Vince just everyone just goes, she is! You're like, yeah, I know. She's in it. There's a few other people in it. But look at the trailer. It's very Australian. I think it was filmed in Australia. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was filmed in Australia.
Yeah.
Because everyone else seems to be Australian or Antipodean in some way.
Right.
Because I'm not very good with accents.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure. Anyway, so if you've got the money, you will obviously absolutely push the spam button on everyone in Fall Guy, and then about 2 weeks later, you can
flip it.
Either keep it if you've got the money, or flip it and invest. Ding, 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 ding. Haven't got the bell in here, unfortunately. Ding, 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 ding. Very low tech. You can flip it and you can go for the entire cast of If, because I think If is launching just before the what we call half term here, but what we call summer break or spring break.
So the question is, it's really, as it often comes down to, is like, has it got legs? Is it going to stay around for 4 weeks,
I think it's
weeks?
Got serious legs.
I mean, if we look at things like Wonka and Dune that have been like just
kicking around for ages.
Yeah.
We need to go and see Dune again.
Mm. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Back in the bunker.
Right, sorry.
Yeah. That's going to be an interesting choice.
Yeah. So anyway, so I think Battle of the Ryans, I think it's definitely my... I think I'll enjoy Fall Guy more than I will If. However, I think If's got more... From a game point of view, I think If's got the legs.
I think
If is
good, I think it'll outperform the Fall Guy, but it could be rubbish. I think overall If is probably going to do better. That's my gut feeling.
Okay.
I'm responding to the If it's like Roger Rabbit type.
Yes, we've said If three times now.
Mm.
But yeah, if you're playing the blockbuster game, Fall Guy's a great opener. I mean, like, if you've got your initial allocation of fuffles, I'd go big on the Fall Guy, run it for a couple of weeks, and then I'd probably really go heavy on If, and then we need to look at other films that are coming out, and we'll look at that next time. But there's lots of films coming out over the next couple of months, but I think those two are kind of big. They're big kind of fixed points in time where you can just go,
yeah,
we can make a fortune on this one and this one, but you need to make sure you're lined up.
It's just a question of how big you want to go on Indiegogo.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good shout. But the voice thing's going to really mess us up. Right, we're going to have to do some research on that. Right, mm-hmm. Okay, I need to launch one of our epic trailer interstitials.
Mm. How does that work down here exactly?
I don't know. All these tapes are unlabeled.
Can you? Is it that one over there? That one?
No. Wait, hang on. No. All right, give it a try.
That
wasn't it.
Yeah, was that?
I think that may have been a message I transmitted to once on Morse code.
Yeah, something that was
about
Morse code.
Something about Avatar. Mm. There was the word "suck" in there. I don't know.
That's right. Weird. Hmm.
Anyway, let's move on. Yeah, we're having a bad day today. So playing around on Threads last night, mm-hmm. and there was a person who I will have to look up this guy's name because I need to name check this man because I don't want to take someone else's joke. Do we get Wi-Fi down here?
Hang on, let me just...
David, so a guy called David August wrote something on the threads, which I found really funny. basically, he said, in movies, people never give the charger when it comes with the burner phone. Like, here's his phone. When it rings, you answer it. If you don't, she dies. Mm. My response would be, is this a USB-C or is this a micro or is that one of those lightning cables? Mm. They never give the cable. Mm. And I'm just like, that's such a good shout because it needs to be on permanently and they never give you the cable.
It's a bit like saying goodbye. No one says goodbye either. Yeah, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. So, and I just went, that's a really good shout. And I said,
I'm never going to unsee that.
Yeah, no, I know. And my response
everything.
My response was, that's such a good call. Thanks. You've improved and ruined this for me from now on. But we're watching a show and like 3 days ago, we were watching the very episode where they went, here's a burner phone. When it rings up, if it rings more than four times, then you're in trouble. You're going to immediately need it anywhere. And you go, yeah, burner phone, thanks very much. But it got me thinking about the other kind of tropes that we've got. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about a few of these in the past. But the burner phone, so David August, again, well played, David. I mean, really, I just went, yes, 100%. But it got me thinking about other things. So obviously we've talked in the past about, as people will call them, silencers, but they're mm-hmm. actually called suppressors. Because we know these things. And how they are portrayed in films and how they make the
not
noise.
Not entirely accurately.
No, it's not. And also chloroform.
Mm. Do you know what?
Which
funnily
really
enough,
annoys me.
And I've discussed this with Mrs. Smith, and now every time it comes up, because she seems to watch a lot of things in which chloroform crops up,
is deployed.
We discuss it every time. Yeah. Like, isn't that? That doesn't work like that, does it?
Doesn't work like that.
Work
the
like
chances,
that.
The chances of you
that person's dead.
That person is either going to go. What are you doing? Or they're dead.
Yeah.
Because you can do it, but you need to get the dosage absolutely spot on.
Anyway.
So, it got me thinking about one of my... So, the other thing I talked about was the J.J. Abrahams and the magic mystery box.
Mm.
Right? Which really, really annoys me.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that we're... So, we're currently watching a TV show at the moment, and it's a bit of a mystery. It's Lost-esque.
Right.
So I'm not going to say what it is because we'll talk about this in the break, but it's Lost-esque. And I've already said I will accept the crux of this mystery. I will accept if it's aliens or humans time traveling from the future.
Okay.
I will not accept if it's some sort of mystical spiritual being, angels, devils,
you
know, up and down. That's it. I will lose my rag if it actually ends up to be quasi-spiritual, mystical. I insist that it has to be aliens or time travel.
Science-based. Right? Not.
I mean, science fiction.
Not magic.
Based. Yes. So, I've said this, and we're now burning our way through this show because it's one of the only things that the three of us can collectively watch.
Right.
We're burning our way through the show, and every episode I'm going, we're taking a step that way. We're not taking a step that way. It's starting to bug me. So right. That's the mystery box. Mm-hmm. And Lost was infamous for doing this.
Yes.
And you kind of go, oh,
well, the thing. And luckily, I fell off around about season three. And yeah. It was like, oh, shall we finish watching Lost? And then it finished and everyone was like, that was a bullet dodged.
I stayed to the end and I regret that I do this. But another trope that I really like and a trope that I see a lot is Chekhov's gun, or also known as Walter Koenig's phaser. But Chekhov's gun is a reference that was from Anton Chekhov, who wrote a play, who basically said that all elements in a story need to be necessary, and if it's something that is irrelevant, needs to be removed. Like, if there's a gun in your play, that gun must play a part in it. If it's not, then there's no point in having the gun there. Now, I disagree with that on the grounds that it will become very predictable. Oh, here is a gun I'm going to put here. And you go, oh, wow, okay. Whereas, rather than you can throw... So Ernest Hemingway, who I generally don't side with on arguments, because Ernest Hemingway is problematic. But he basically went, no, that's stupid, because it makes it predictable. So he wrote a short story where he deliberately introduced two characters, right?
Yep.
Described everything, and then never referenced them again.
Excellent.
And you were like, that is a little bit of a to the concept. But anyway. But
you're absolutely right. And again, conversations with Mrs. Smith occasionally were there, oh, look, it's Chekhov's syringe or Chekhov's, you know, notebook or whatever it happens to be.
Exactly. Yeah. One of my favorite ones, the example that sticks in my mind is Wayne's World 2. Now, Wayne's World 2 has got some great moments in it, and it is kind of underrated. Is it better than Wayne's World 1? Arguably, for a couple of reasons. One, it's a little bit cleverer, and two, Christopher Walken's in it. That could be a sequel. Anyway, there's a bit...
So a bit like Gene 2?
Yeah. So they're walking to somewhere and there's a guy stacking chickens in boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, oh, wow, that's a lot of chickens. What's it doing? He goes, oh, no, we're not bringing them anywhere. We're just stacking them up here on a thing. And they were like, okay. And he goes, and what are those guys? Oh, those guys over there who were walking in the road very slowly with a massive pane of glass. They just do that every couple of minutes. And then I think Wayne just goes, wow, that's really odd. You've got to wonder if this is going to, you know, be relevant later on. And then later on, he's in a car chase and inevitably crashes through the box of chickens and smashes the glass. And then when he does that, all the guys who are doing it kind of go, our work here is done, boys. And you just go, yeah, classic Chekhov's gun. However, there are other examples.
Mm.
So I'm going to go through a couple of examples of a Chekhov's gun in films.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to let you decide which is your favorite one.
Okay, and then do I... take it out of existence.
No. Wrong room.
Of course, yeah.
You can't
sorry.
Undo anything, right? I mean, literally.
I thought that's how this worked.
The fact that the door doesn't close properly is an issue in this room. Mm. You're not undoing anything.
Okay.
I'm just going to...
Okay.
Look, we're going lo-fi. We're going analog. We're just going to talk about them.
Shooting the breeze.
Yeah, we're just shooting the breeze. I can't even do the voice down here, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, watch. Time, space, reality. See, I can't do it. No, it's all a big mixed web. See, it doesn't work.
No, so
I'm in the wrong room.
Okay.
First off, aliens.
Mm.
Sigourney Weaver in Aliens is hanging around the deck. All the Marines are loading up all their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, can I help? And he goes, no, can you? And she goes, well, I do have a class 2 power loader license. Gets in the power loader and then picks up a big barrel and goes, where do you want it? And you go, cool. You see, and then obviously later on, gets in the power loader and beats the crap out of the alien. I think that is a good example of using Chekhov's gun, but also using it to do something else, which is the fact that she's surrounded by all these, you know, gruff Marines.
Yeah.
She's the civilian. They all think she's a bit useless.
Yeah.
So she gets into the power loader and proves that she's actually got some skills. And they go, you know what? That's actually great. So you can bring that missile over there. Thank you very much.
So it serves two purposes.
It does serve two purposes.
Yeah. So it's all, She's got skills, is what we're conveying. But then later, a certain set of skills, which she then uses.
And then later, that power level comes back in.
Yeah. Frankly, still, to this day, awesome scene.
I went to, I dragged my nephews to a Comic-Con, not the one in San Diego, but one in here. And there was a kid who was probably about 8 years old who had... They built a cardboard power loader suit.
Amazing.
And he was walking, you know, she was walking around with his power loader suit, and you're kind of going, that's awesome. I mean, it's going to be a nightmare when she needs to pee.
Yeah.
Oh, no. But you just got to... Yeah. You're like, just brilliant. Anyway, so Aliens power loader.
Yeah.
Good Chekhov's gun also underlines the next point. The massive ship-destroying mine that Simon Pegg and Nick Frost find in someone's shed in Hot Fuzz.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed. Yeah. It's so preposterous. Because, like, how can it be, like, 50 miles inland? Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere. And he goes... It's also the bit where he's trying to translate between the three people.
Oh, the different goes, levels goes, of West Country.
Yeah. And then he opens the door and it's just this massive shape of mine. And then at the very end, someone pushes it and goes, oh, it's okay. I think it's a boom. And just takes out the entire police station or whatever it is. Very funny.
Mm.
But that is a good kind of go, that's going to come up later on. There's no way someone spent that much money to get that prop into shot without maybe blowing it up later on.
But that's almost like a sort of because it sort of works as a joke when you see it, because it's just like a visual gag of like stupid, ridiculous. Like,
how did you get this in this building? Yeah.
But at the same time, it's almost like Chekhov's gun operating at the film production level. Like you can't put that in and not use
that's,
it.
That's gonna cost look, Ed, love your work. That's gonna cost $25,000 to put that in that room. Right.
And actually, frankly, back in Alien, same thing, because that power loader, you don't just make that.
Exactly.
There are many ways she could have proved herself to the Marines other than getting into what was clearly a very expensive thing to, you know, drop into the production.
Why do we not have them?
No, that's a good question.
Genuinely. Yeah. I mean, because you get the little diggers, right? Mm-hmm. The little...
The micro diggers.
Whatever they're called. They're cool. I like them.
Yeah.
But how much better would it be?
I think it's the walking thing. I bet you that... Have you seen...
Moving the legs is the problem.
It's in Iron Man, right? You see it in Iron Man where they're making like the knockoff Iron Man suits. And they're like breaking people's legs and basically paralyzing.
It's a good point.
I think that's probably closer to reality.
Yeah.
Than we'd like to admit. It is my suspicion. Or, when it comes to testing, people are like,
nah, not getting in that.
Not getting in that. Good point. Mm-hmm. You risk going... Next. This one I kind of went... Bruce Willis's match in The Fifth Element. So in The Fifth Element, if you remember
this bit.
You can smoke, but... The cigarettes now are that much tobacco and a huge filter.
Such a great
gag. Every time he goes to light his cigarette, he gets knocked unconscious or something blows up. And he never gets to light the match until the very end where they have to activate the stones and he has to light the match.
I think that's like a detail I hadn't quite...
And I just went, that's really good because I hadn't noticed it. Because he's got like one match in his pocket the whole time. And then, because they light it and the other guy's going... No, go the other way, look that way, because but anyway, so Bruce Willis's match is a good one.
Now that I like that had basically gone right over my head,
and I think that's a good example of I didn't go because the one thing you don't need to have anyone say is, oh, I wonder if that's going to be relevant later on in the film, because you know, but it's interesting because
it was like, it's more hiding in plain sight.
Another one that's hiding in plain sight, which I thought was really good. Spoiler alert now for the film Knives Out. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen Knives Out, first of all, what's wrong with you? It's a great film. Chris Evans is amazing in that film.
Yes.
But here we go.
Mm-hmm.
The spring-loaded knife.
Mm-hmm.
So in Knives Out, Christopher Plummer has a knife and the blade retracts into the handle on a spring because it's a prop
which
knife.
Which is used in the pivotal scene.
Basically, someone tries to murder the witness and picks up the wrong knife and goes, shpoink! Yep. And you just kind of go, great. Thanks very much.
They show that earlier on?
He shows the knife. He's playing with the knife in like earlier on. And then in the last scene, someone grabs the knife and tries to stab somebody. But it's
again, one that
knife.
Just sort of missed it kind me a little
of,
bit.
Yeah, it's there, but it's not like it isn't.
That's like a rewatch.
It is. The other thing, though, you know what? No, I need to focus. I'm going to come back to that. Remind me.
Okay.
Knives Out, phones. Say that to me before we finish. Remind me. Write that down. Don't write that down. Scroll down the wall somewhere. Ready for the next one? So, mm-hmm. Any favorites so far?
I do like the Fifth Element.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah.
Because it's subtle.
Do you want to hear a bit of a classic one?
Mm-hmm.
And the one that I had never even considered being a Chekhov's gun.
Mm-hmm.
Don't Cross the Streams, Ghostbusters.
yeah. Yeah.
Make a whole big point about not crossing the streams. Crossing the streams is bad.
Yeah.
You said so. You'll endanger us and the nice lady who paid us in advance, which turned into a dog.
Mm.
That whole thing. And then the only way to do it is to do cross the one streams. Thing that they weren't told. Like, yeah, so Chekhov's proton pack. I'm okay with that.
Mm.
But it kind of struck me as quite a good one. Do you want a really weird one?
Mm-hmm.
Product placement now.
Mm-hmm.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
For a product placement that doesn't exist anymore. I don't think this product exists anymore anyway. I haven't looked it up. A TiVo personal video recorder for television mm-hmm. in Tropic Thunder.
As a Chekhov's TiVo.
As a Chekhov's TiVo, yeah. So, again, this is quite...
No, right, okay, I can't remember. Your brain's melting. Explain this one to me.
The Matthew McConaughey is Ben Stiller's agent in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
And he's very, very funny. And he is in the scene where it's got Tom Cruise dancing to Flo Rida and all of that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the whole point of this agent is not to get him more money and stuff, but is to make sure that, I can't remember the name of the actor, but make sure that Ben Stiller's character has a TiVo in his room when he's on location.
Right.
And he doesn't have a TiVo. And Matthew McConaughey goes mad about the fact that the TiVo clause hasn't been addressed in his contract. And that's when he goes in to see Tom Cruise's character, Les Grossman, and says, you know, what do you want? You know, Matthew McConaughey. And he goes, well, what do you need, Les? Glasses? What? He goes, maybe you haven't read the TiVo clause in my client's contract, and he's got the, you know, the right to a personal video recording made available in his dressing room at all times. And then at the end of the film, they're about to be destroyed. They're escaping in a helicopter. Robert Downey Jr. has fallen out of character mm-hmm. and is now Australian. It's very funny. They're about to get shot by a rocket-propelled grenade as they're escaping from this helicopter, at which point Matthew McConaughey turns up, tosses the TiVo across, which absorbs the rocket and saves the day. And basically, you're kind of going, wow! I mean, first of all, I want to know how much TiVo paid. We've said TiVo a lot in this.
Yeah.
I want to know how much TiVo paid to have that in there.
Well, it doesn't matter anymore.
But I don't think they're a thing anymore.
No.
I could be wrong, but I think they've been superseded by other things. But yes.
Right.
Matthew McConaughey, TiVo, Chekhov's TiVo.
That is like shoehorned in product placement.
Yeah. But again, I didn't notice it as a plot. He was banging on, because the whole point is he's banging on about such an irrelevant thing. It's like, and I'm thinking it's just an example of a star saying, I want 100 brown M&Ms in a brandy glass or I'm not going on.
Yeah.
I thought it was an example of someone just being really, you know, the hill that you've chosen to die on is a stupid hill.
Well, the story about a lot of those contract things, some of them is that the person is just nuts, but sometimes it's just like, they want to know if anyone's reading that deep into the contract.
Yeah, and I think it was. Now I could get this wrong, so forgive me. I think it was Bon Jovi, and I think they put something really weird in the rider.
Mm.
And if they got there and it hadn't been done, it also meant that they probably hadn't done a proper technical check. They probably hadn't rigged the lighting correctly.
So it was like a trust level.
Right, we now need to check all of the stuff because I don't want to be killed by a falling stage light.
Mm.
So I think a lot of them put it in there. However, other people put it in because they're nuts. Like, I need water.
Well, no, now they've
need water at 21 degrees centigrade.
I think what happened, it started for a good reason. Then people heard, that's what rock stars do.
If Metallica want nothing but, you know, imported Liechtenstein beer, then I'm going to insist on a llama in a cardigan.
I wonder if there's like a sort of a ranking, like a chart of like weird rider.
There's gotta be. Stuff. There's gotta be. I mean, it's not. That's not the subject of our podcast, but no. I would listen to that episode.
There's a podcast out there.
There's a podcast out there which is just. It's just. I'd call it Wild Riders. If that doesn't exist, we're gonna have to record a new podcast.
Oh my god!
I'm gonna be honest with you, because that's a fantastic idea. Right, write that down. Scroll that on the wall as well.
Yeah.
Right, what else have I got? Other one, Thor's hammer in Age of Ultron. So there's a party at the beginning where they all get like there's a big kind of celebration party. There's a point where the hammer's in the table and they go, well, hang on a second, so what's the trick with the hammer? And he goes, well, you're just not worthy. And he's like, well, is it just like a fingerprint and biometrics? And then they all take turns and Tony Stark goes, so I'm assuming if I can lift this hammer then it means that I'm ruler of Asgard. And Thor's like, yeah, go ahead. And they all try and they can't pick up. And then Captain,
very funny scene.
It's a very funny scene. And then Captain America, it just goes
inches.
Inches. And Thor just kind of goes and has a look, which is so it's two rep, because that sets up for one of the greatest scenes in Endgame coming on.
Oh, I want to watch Endgame again.
But later on in Age of Ultron, Vision, they said, well, we can't trust you because we don't know where you were. And at which point he says, you know, we need to act, we need to go. And he picks up Thor's hammer. And just hands it to him and says, we need to, you know, what can I do to, you know, what can I do? And you need to react. And he takes it and everyone goes, yeah, okay, he's good, right? and it's the moment, but it does set up that thing. But there's
that's like a multi-film payoff.
But no, because it's a single film in Age of Ultron.
But then later, I
watched all of the Marvel films on my own and then I watched them all with Little B. And that was the moment, because it was, you can look it up on YouTube, you can see audience reactions.
Yeah.
And you can see, again, spoilers for Endgame, if you haven't seen Endgame.
Yeah. Sorry.
Because apparently I spoiled it like 2 weeks after I watched it, along with everyone else on the planet. Someone goes, oh, you spoiled it. It's 2 weeks, right? If you haven't seen Endgame, just skip forward. They've all seen it. But there's a bit where Thor's about to get killed. He's got, his axe is about to go into, the hammer rises up. And it goes, and then spongs Thanos. It stops in midair, comes back. Captain America catches it. And the place went. I was in Britain when I watched this film, right? And it's a different, whole different vibe watching.
Indeed.
If you go to, you watch a film in the US, you watch a film in the UK, the hammer went up, right? One person went, wasn't me. It went, spong, stuck, whizzes back. Captain America catches it. About five people went, yeah. I mean, like, not quite that level. It was more like, but it was like, there was a murmur. And I was like, my God, the audience has gone insane. Because, you know, UK audience. But then you watch if you watch like a US audience, the place goes absolutely bananas, like fully.
Indeed.
But yes. Yep. So Thor's hammer, Chekhov's hammer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Last one. Once Upon a Time in America. Seen it?
No.
You have not seen it. Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio. You'll recognize it only because of the meme where Leonardo DiCaprio goes, oh, and points at the screen. That's that film. So Brad Pitt's a stuntman in it and lives. Yeah. And it's all... Leonardo DiCaprio is the actor and Brad Pitt is the stuntman. They shoehorn Bruce Lee into the film. And also, it's all about the Charles Manson, Sharon Tate murder. I don't like that film. It doesn't sit well with me. I watched it. I didn't really enjoy it because it's a bit like Inglourious Basterds as well. Anyway, I didn't enjoy it. However, there is an amazing Chekhov's flamethrower in it because Brad Pitt as a stuntman has a flamethrower in his shed, which he picked up from a film.
Oh, right. Okay.
And I did watch the film, and he goes, oh, that's the thing. I got that from this film, and I got that from a Western, and that's a flamethrower I got from a World War II film. And I'm like, I wonder if that's going to... This is a Quentin Tarantino film.
Yeah,
I guarantee that's going to be used in slow motion later on to probably roast somebody.
Yeah.
And true to form, it all kicks off, and Brad Pitt comes out and basically fires a flamethrower at somebody, and it is quite like, yep, saw that coming a mile off. But of all those on the list, that's the one that I in the the moment I went,
Flamethrower,
flamethrower, flamethrower.
Yep.
But the rest of them, not so much. So,
yeah, subtle.
Mm. What's your favorite?
I think I like the, I think the, probably the Ghostbusters one.
Don't Cross the Streams?
Yeah, I think maybe. Because it feels natural. And it doesn't, it's not screaming at you.
No.
And it feels both the setup is justified because these proton packs are mental.
Yes, they
are. And dangerous. Insane. It's like, like you have to be careful.
It's an unlicensed. And then, because why worry? Each of us is carrying an unlicensed nuclear accelerator.
They sound awesome when they fire up. Right? Yeah. So it's like,
okay.
It's going to come with a safety
warning. Don't cross the streams.
And then, and it sets the jeopardy up in the moment when they're trying to catch the ghost.
I think it's a really good
use. And then down the other end, it also, it's very justified. It's like, we need to take extreme measures.
Yes.
And a lot of people are like, what, seriously?
Yeah. You know, one thing you said we shouldn't be doing, you know, suggesting we do that because the world's about to end and this is death,
so I think
it's death or glory.
It works in the setup and in the payoff.
Yeah.
It doesn't call attention to itself. In that kind of, well, that's going to be important later on, right? I think that's the thing, is like to do Chekhov's Gun well, or rather to avoid the trap.
Yes,
it needs balance, and I think that's very nice. I think it works very well in context. Yeah, that one.
Hmm. Good. Hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll move on. Right. Okay. Right. Wait. I need to... Well, that's got a label on it, but I don't think that's the one. All right. Here we go. All right, that's not the noise. Sorry, headphone warning.
Are we safe?
Yeah, no, we're fine, we're fine. Ignore that light. Okay, that's a radiation alarm. That thing doesn't work very well, so just ignore that if it starts flashing.
It seems stuck. I think it's stuck.
Fine. It's fine. There you go, it's fine. Now it's reading zero. We're fine. Right, we're done. I think we should get the hell out of here.
We should probably leave.
That's it. So next week, so we're going to be back in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Committing to 2 weeks' time?
Yeah.
2 weeks' time is the... I'll have hopefully seen four. I may have seen Fall Guy by then.
I thought you were going to say four films. Like, no. That's good.
Well,
good
I was going to try and see Civil War this week.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's on my list. Yeah, I'm sort of interested.
It's got very meh reviews.
Mm. Okay.
Because I think, and the review that I read for it, is that it doesn't take a stance.
Yes. Yeah.
It's very neutral.
Yeah.
Because I think it has to be, because you're dealing with a subject that's a little bit too close to reality, and I don't think you can go, those guys are wrong and those guys are right. And also, but it's apparently a bit toothless.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Which is what the review that I read said. But I might try and go and see it anyway. But but yeah, right.
Okay.
We're done.
Yeah.
Should we get out of here?
Yeah. Should we turn a few of these bits off now that we turned on when we came in, or should we just
it'd be fine. I think the battery will probably wear down. Right. Okay. I've worked out how to connect my phone though. So I think I can do the outro properly.
Okay.
Here we go.
Did you turn the thing or the... No.